Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman in studio at 11. We'll look ahead to tonight's game. We'll ask you what players on the roster bubble you like. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. A couple of events coming up for us, including next Thursday night. A week from today, you can join me and Danny at the 106.7 The Fan Public Bar DuPont Circle kickoff party for the brand new football season. This is Thursday, September 7th, so jot it down on your calendar. 8:30 p.m. start time.
Just watching football, man.
We're going to be watching the opening game of the season with you. You don't know who plays that night.
Kansas City? Is that game?
And?
Patriots?
That is correct. The defending champion Patriots open the season with the Chiefs. So we are live at Public Bar, 8:30. It's a great venue. I believe they still have, by definition, the biggest screen to watch football in the entire metropolitan area. But they've only got 1,000 other TVs and 3 levels to have fun. So come on out and watch the game with us. Talking Nats right now, though, after Steven Strasburg's excellence yesterday.
How you feeling? Take the temp. They just did a wet paper towel of a team that came in hot, by the way.
You know, that was the first 3-game sweep at home of any team all season long.
Seems crazy for a team that's 30 games over for that to be the case, but that's just kind of how it's been.
How's it possible to be this far ahead in your division, this many games over 500, and to have just pulled off your first 3-game sweep at home on the last day of August?
Barry Svrluga, who I love, wrote about this the other day, maybe a couple weeks ago now. This is a group that, because they haven't had all their pieces together, they haven't done that like the incredible 13-game winning streak. They haven't had like some sort of like stretch where they just can't be stopped. They got off to a nice start, obviously, and they've kind of ridden the momentum from there. But they also haven't had the terrible losing streak either. They just, you know, even if you drop a couple, you find a way to win two out of the next three, and then you sort of get back on track. That's what happened here recently, where they won one, lost one, won one, lost one. Next thing you know, a little 3-game sweep happens. Your month is outstanding. It's a testament, again, to the grinding nature of these guys.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Here is what we are doing right now. We're talking Redskins at 11. We are giving you a chance to steer this Nats conversation wherever you'd like. Take advantage of that. We hear often that you guys don't get enough time to call in on the Nationals. Platform is yours. Chris is in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Two quick points. Last night, I was kind of upset that Strasburg went out in the ninth, you know, given his history. But the more I think about it, I think that that was actually really necessary for him to believe that he can, you know, pitch through an entire game and be dominant. Please don't do that again until the playoffs, though. But my second point is, you know, obviously if Harper is not ready to come back for the playoffs or is, you know, 80% or something like that, then the centerpiece or the key move in the lineup becomes what to do with Adam Lind. And I'm really interested to see how Dusty tackles that, because I think if Harper is a no-go, or, you know, maybe can only come in as a pinch hitter or DH, then what Lynn can do for the lineup is really, really important. And I would hate to see Dusty substitute, you know, speed at the top of the lineup or some other outdated way of thinking for a true hitter that you can put in like the 5 or 6 slot.
Yeah, he probably will, for the record,
yeah.
If tasked with that decision, because that's kind of what he does. But I don't think we'll have to cross that bridge, because Bryce Harper, by all accounts, is going to be able to play. Mike Rizzo is yesterday telling the Junkies that is the expectation. But I understand the concern.
I do too.
Look, we don't know yet about Bryce. Couple things. First of all, in Strauss, I love that Dusty let him finish what he started yesterday. I really do. He was pitch efficient. He averaged about 12 pitches per inning.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the comp, Max Scherzer leads the Nationals a little over 15 pitches per inning this year. Strasburg, closer to 16 pitches per inning, is actually second on the team in terms of being economic with pitch count. He threw 110 pitches yesterday. Now, I don't want you throwing 110 pitches a game. That's too many. But assuming you can hit the brakes, and in his next start after 7 innings and 93 pitches or 95 pitches you call it a night, because as you said, these are not games when you're up 4-0 where you need to tax his arm with that extra inning. You can hit the gas occasionally. You can hit the brakes occasionally. Yesterday was a game where you hit the gas, and there was a great benefit to the player by doing that.
One really high-stress inning is when the runner on third with nobody out, and he ends up, you know, striking out the side to get through.
Yeah, he retired the side in order three up, three down for the first six innings in that game. So it wasn't like a particularly fatiguing performance, in my opinion. I thought it was a feel-good day for Stras. More importantly, on the playoff lineup needs to be Turner 1. It should be Rendon 2, but it's probably going to be Worth 2, and I won't have a huge problem with that.
Yeah, I'll live with that.
The 3 spot in the order at that point will need to be Daniel Murphy, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
The 4 spot in the order then should be... Well, are we going with or without Bryce? How do you want to do this?
Let's say without, because remember yesterday.
Because I'm going without Bryce right now.
It's not just a bone bruise. It's a calf strain, too. I mean, again, we always find out something new.
So, sans Bryce, Murphy 3.
Mm-hmm.
I would go Rendon 4.
I would, too.
They'll go Zim 4, for the record.
Correct.
5, again, no Bryce. I would go Zim 5. And then I would go Lind probably 6th in the outfield with no Bryce. The question becomes, if you have Bryce and Murphy and Rendon and Zim and Turner and Worth, how do you do that? So my lineup would be Turner 1. I would put... Bryce 2. Rendon 3. Murphy 4. Zimmerman 5. Worth 6. And then 7 through 9 matters a little bit less.
You figure out if it's Wieters or Taylor or Goodwin or whatever the heck you want to do.
Catcher ahead of pitcher 8, 9.
Yeah.
7 would be Michael Taylor, I guess.
Yeah, if it's a lefty on the bump, and I'm saying Brian Goodwin's back, the way Michael Taylor's swinging and missing at every breaking ball out of the zone right now, I could let
Brian
Goodwin do
that. The most important thing for me, Danny, get your best 4 hitters to the plate in your first 4 spots.
Well, that's crazy talk. That'll never happen. I wish it would go down that way. It obviously won't. I love that lineup, by the way. I did a little fist pump as you were doing it. What's going to happen is Trey will lead off, right? We all know that. Jason Worth will bat second. That's a thing. At least it's not third, because it was third for a while when it shouldn't have been.
I can live with that, though, because he sees a lot of pitches.
Yeah, I have no issue with it, by the way. He'll work counts and play off at bats. He'll be very doit.
He's a slightly worse version. I won't even say slightly. He's a poor man's version of Rendon batting second, which is what I'd like, and I will take it.
Yes.
It's better than pretty much anything they've had for a while batting second.
So what he's going to do then is Turner leading off, Jason Worth batting second. This is with Bryce now. Bryce will hit third, Zim will hit fourth, Murphy will hit fifth.
He should be hitting way higher than that.
Yeah, Rendon will hit sixth.
He should be hitting way higher than that.
And then it'll be either Wieters or Taylor, kind of depending. Now, without Bryce, I just think he moves Murphy up and puts Lind in the 5 spot and keeps Rendon 6. The determination to keep Rendon 6 because of left-right, outgoverns any other factor.
It's amazing.
For Dusty.
Here is where Dusty has benefited, though his lineup, I should say, has benefited, because I know Petey wants to talk about Wilmer Defoe. Defoe has had a hell of a year, and part of it is credit to Dusty for giving him opportunities. I mean, I still say, what would you rather have, Wilmer Defoe being the best version of himself or Anthony Rendon being the best version of himself? And I think it's an easy answer. But by putting him on the pedestal that is a great spot in the order, they've turned Wilmer Defoe into a major league player when he wasn't one early in the season. Pete in D.C., go ahead.
Well, I just want to – last year he only had like 60-something at-bats and hit 276, mostly pinch hitting. That's really impressive.
Yeah.
When you're getting one at-bat a game and you can come out there and close to, you know, a fourth of the time get a hit, that's pretty good. This year he's all the way up to 292. He's a switch hitter. He's actually in the top 10 in all of baseball in defensive war, which is a really important stat, and he plays a heck of a shortstop. I mean, you know, that is a real asset. Should they trade him? Is he a good guy to have on the bench with all the injuries? What do you guys think?
I would trade him this offseason because I think you could get something for him now, and you've got Trey Turner at shortstop moving forward. Do you know that he's second in defensive runs saved among all shortstop behind Andrelton Simmons?
Behind the best guy in the league, probably.
Right. So
it's
incredible. I mean, he's become a... Now, he could be vital. If you wanted to next year, you could say, well, let's go into the season and see Wilmer Defoe starting shortstop, Trey Turner starting center fielder, and trade Michael Taylor if you got something for him. I would rather Trey Turner play short and move on without Defoe, because what you could do is keep him on the bench, and he could be your backup second baseman, your backup shortstop, your backup left fielder. He could also potentially start in left when Worth is gone.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I love assets like this because, again, he's under team control. He's cheap. He's a developing player that has a versatile skill set. The most impressive thing to me, the batting average stuff is nice, especially hitting with runners on. It helps you because there's more holes for some of the ground balls to come
through. I've been amazed by him. I did not think he would be this good this year.
Me either. The patience, the walks, starting to see more and more pitches. I mean, he was 0-2 for the first month every time he came up. And you're like, yeah, there's a reason you're hitting 0-76, but still batting second. What are we doing here? He's starting to work counts and the occasional power. He has been so impressive. And Pete touched on it. Defensively, way better than I thought.
Meet the Redskins on the bubble. Who you pulling for to make the roster next hour? We'll kick it off with Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, on tonight's preseason finale with the Tampa Bay Bucks on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.